Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their lives, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories, how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Barbara Hofmeister, the host of the To Be show. And I want to welcome you all for our exciting program today. I'm still waiting for our guest, but I will introduce her because Edie is a good friend of mine. Edie Rader is our guest for today. And she has just brought out a new book that says, No More Bullying. And I think that's a very, very important topic. I hope that Edie will call in time for the show. We spoke yesterday, and she said she will definitely be in time, but I know that we have lots of thunderstorms here in Germany at the moment, and hopefully she is connected in the States. Anyway, bullying. I think it's such a big topic. If you have any experience with it, please call in and share the experience, because people think that it can't happen to me. And believe me, I said that. It will never happen to me. But it has happened to me. And not too long ago, let's see. Yeah, just after my 40th birthday, when I totally turned my life around, I totally changed, moved to a new country, moved actually back to Germany, stopped working in tourism, and started working as the assistant to the managing director in a very large photo studio, very, very large. And they made mainly commercial photography for advertising, and that photography was for big things like cars, for instance, Lamborghinis and Ferraris and all kinds of things, BMWs, Mercedes. And they took the photos in our studios, and a lot of other people, of course, too. And I really loved my job. I really, really enjoyed it. It was something totally new. I like a challenge, so that for me was exciting. And after only working there for 3 days, my boss said, okay, I'm going on vacation for 5 weeks now. You know more or less what you have to do, and you can reach me by phone if you need me. And off he went. And I mean, it was quite a big operation, you know, and we had very expensive photographers that, you know, famous people that came to take the photos, and they have high standards. They want everything to work really smoothly. And a production, I was responsible for the whole production that they wanted. They just brought their assistants for the photography, but they did not organize the whole production. They told you what they needed, and it was my job to make sure that they had everything. So it was quite challenging. At the same time, very exciting and very interesting. So for the next 5 weeks, I did that job, and I worked literally day and night, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I met so many interesting people. I saw stuff that I never saw before, you know. I mean, if you know the effort they go through to take a photo of a car that looks like it's on wet asphalt, on a wet road, they don't take that on wet roads. They take it in the studio, and you have to build like a small pool so that it looks wet underneath the car, and there has to be no reflection because everything reflects on the car. I mean, this is really, really complicated and very interesting if you do it for the first time like I did. So anyway, I did that for 5 weeks, and I was so proud of my work. I was so proud of our team in the studio that worked well with me, and everything went so smoothly. Everybody was happy. And then my boss returned. After 5 weeks on vacation, he called in every few days. There was always everything in order. And, I mean, instead of being really grateful that he finally found somebody that could do his job when he wasn't there, you know, someone that could take care of the things, he didn't, you know. He was not grateful. On the contrary, he was afraid to lose his job, as I found out much later. Of course, at the time, I didn't. He came in, you know, sunburned and really relaxed. And he saw that everything was in such great order. The office looked absolutely, I mean, spotless. There was not a piece of paper anywhere on any desk. Everything was filed away. Everything was up to date. And normally that was not his style of working. Normally he had a massive, I mean, really big desk, and that was always piled high with papers, and he hardly ever filed anything away, and it was a pretty chaotic organization. And now it was totally different, and he didn't like that at all. But instead of telling me, look, I like my mess, and thanks for, you know, doing it your way, but in the future, I like my mess, so keep my mess, please. No, he did not do that. What he did was he went home. He was in the studio maybe for an hour and a half. He went home. He called in sick the next day, and he said that he had some heart problems and that he wasn't feeling too great, and that it was such a shock to see the studio in such a state that, you know, he needs to see a doctor. And he didn't come in for the next, sorry, for the next week. But when he finally came back, he made my life a living hell. And this is when the bullying started. You cannot imagine what it was like. I was not allowed to do anything anymore except file papers away. I mean, really, absolutely horrible, boring things. I was not allowed to talk to any of our clients anymore. And a lot of them called to talk to me because they'd been working with me for 5 weeks. Actually, they had been working with me for 6 weeks by then, and they were happy. So I was not allowed to talk to them, but I had to answer the phone. I had to pick up the phone. I had to say, Airport Studio, guten Tag, what can I do for you? And then when they said it, I had to, without giving them an answer, I had to say, one moment, I will connect you, and then pass it on to my boss. No matter what they asked, I had to say, one moment, I will connect you. I apologize, I have a slight cold. Anyway, that was not enough. You know, first of all, he took all my responsibilities away. Then he asked me to clean the toilets. I mean, I was a highly paid assistant to the managing director, and there he is, wants me to clean the toilets. I don't mind doing that, you know, if it's part of my job or if it's absolutely necessary because the cleaning lady is sick. But he wanted to save the money for the cleaning lady, and because I didn't have that much to do anymore because he'd taken over everything, he wanted me to do that. He wanted me to do his laundry and iron his shirts, you know, all kinds of things, except the things that I got paid for, the things that were in my contract, and that was to assist him in his work in the studio. And every day he found something that I'd done wrong. Every day he started nagging, he started complaining about my inefficiency, and, you know, I mean, it was just absolutely crazy. And I remember one morning, I called a friend. We started work at 9 o'clock in the morning, and by 10:30, he had shouted at me and complained to me already, I think, 11 or 12 times in 1 hour and a half, 11 or 12 times that somebody puts you down. And he did that, I mean, dozens and dozens of times during the day. Everything I did was wrong. And I am only telling you this story so that you become aware, because I was then a very confident person, and I did a great job while he was away. I know that for a fact. But because I was told 20, 30, 40 times a day that I was doing a lousy job and that I was good for nothing and, you know, all kinds of charming things, I started to believe it. Not consciously, not my logical mind didn't believe it. I believed in myself and my work. But because this steady drop approach, and I was not allowed to do anything anymore where I could prove that I could do something, I started to make mistakes. I really started to make the mistakes. And it got worse and worse. And when I called this friend of mine, who was a very good friend also of my boss, I told him, I said, this morning he already told me off 10, 11, or 12 times in 90 minutes. And he said, well, leave. And I said, well, you know, I enjoyed the work while he was not here. He said, yeah, but he's, you know, he's there 10 months or 9 months out of the 12. So you decide what you want. You decide whether you want to continue there, but I wouldn't continue there because you sound terrible. You are near crying, you know, every time we talk, and that's not you. That's not you. That's not your enthusiasm, your love for work. I mean, I really enjoy working. And he says, I can't hear any of that anymore. I just hear depressed Barbara. And if you had told me that this would ever happen to you, that I would allow it to happen to me, I would have said impossible. But it did. It did, and this is why I know how painful and how dangerous bullying is. And unfortunately, it didn't make it and probably won't make it because we just have another 12 minutes. What can I say? I can't give you all the solutions, but I can give you one solution, and that is when you feel bullied. I mean, in that case, I had the choice to leave or to stay and fight, but the fighting was impossible because he was the owner, or he was the co-owner. The other two owners were lawyers. They did not want to get involved. And he was not going to change. And I was not going to change either, you know, in as much as to make it as he wanted it, which would have been I do nothing, you know, and I just sort of wash his shirts and his socks and everything and clean the studio and be very subdued and timid. And that's not me. That's not me. And I don't think anybody would pay me that much money, as much as they did, for me to be like that. I mean, they gave me the money that I deserve to make a responsible job. But then I didn't have a responsible job anymore. And even one time, a common friend of ours, of my boss and of myself, came into the studio, and he wanted to talk to me as much as he wanted to talk to him. And so he couldn't understand why my boss sent me out of the room and made me sit in my own office. And he said, well, I want to talk to Barbara as much as to you. You know, let's go for a drink after you're done here. And he refused to to allow me to go with them. And the other guy said, but it's her spare time. You know, it's after work. You can't tell her what to do. He said, well, it's either her or me. Can you imagine? It's either her or me. I mean, how dumb can you get? But I can tell you one thing. The people that bully are always the people that are insecure. This is why they bully. That's one thing that I have experienced and that I've seen in many of my clients that have problems with bullying and that I see in the schools also. The bullies are always the insecure people, the insecure kids, the insecure people also in in offices or in any position. They are not 100% secure. I know for a fact that my boss, I spoke to him years later about this, and he explained it to me. And I know that he was afraid that his partners, the two lawyers that hardly ever came to his studio, but that his partners would see that I was making a better job than he was, and of course I cost much less than he did, because as a partner, he got part of the profit, but he also had, on top of that, a very good salary. So he was afraid that his good life would stop, you know, if they would see that I was doing a better job than he was, and they would fire him. And then he would just get a small part of the profit, but he would not be the managing director anymore with a very high salary. So that was his main reason for doing that, insecurity. And in most cases, that is the fact. It is insecurity where people bully you. So when you notice that, play on that. You know always that they are much less secure than they pretend to be, that there is an insecurity there. And if you find out what the insecurities are, you can, you know, either talk to them, if that's possible. I tried that many times with my boss. It was impossible to talk to him because he didn't want to change because of the fear that he had. Otherwise, you have the choice to leave. And I really mean that. And if it's in school and one of your kids is being bullied, then go and speak to the director in school. Go and talk to them. Explain to them. And if necessary, take your kid out of that school and take it to another school. It's bullying, in my eyes, is the most cowardly way to put someone down. But it can be very destructive. And if somebody that is insecure in themselves gets bullied, it can destroy them for life. It really can. So I recommend the book that I have on the show page from Edie, because Edie's been in this field for 40 years. She is a go-getter, a lovely lady. It's really such a shame that she couldn't make it. But she's a real go-getter. I will ask her to come back, but now the show is booked for August and September. But I will ask her to come back at a later stage to talk about her book. But really, check it out, because you don't want to get bullied. And if it happens, do something about it. Don't wait like I did. You know, I waited for about 2 months. By that time, I was so small. I made mistakes with the most simple things. Because he told me 20, 30 times a day that I was making mistakes until I started to make the mistakes. That's the danger. Until you start to actually act the way that they tell you are acting. Until you start to actually become who they tell you again and again and again and again who you are. It's not the truth. It is them. Not you, but if you are being told often enough, you will start believing it. And if you stay in that situation long enough, you can destroy all your belief in yourself. And without belief in yourself, you're not going to go very far. That's unfortunately true. You can have the most amazing talents. You can have an incredible education, but if you don't believe that you are worthy, that you can do this better than anybody else, that you are really brilliant at what you're doing, you will not get paid what you're worth. And I know what I'm talking about here. So please take this to heart. Really take it to heart. And if you get bullied ever, if you see anybody else getting bullied, stand up for them. If they can't do it, you do it for them. Stand up for them. Talk to the person that is bullying them if possible. Talk to the person that is being bullied. It's possible that neither of them are open to this conversation. It's possible, because if the one being bullied has been told off often enough, they will feel too shy to talk about it. I could only talk about it with my very, very, very best friends. I felt so bad. I couldn't believe. I could watch myself going down, and I couldn't believe what was happening. I couldn't believe until I noticed that I was getting worse and worse in my work. I really was getting bad. I thought, wow, what he does works. He's putting me down long enough now that I am making the mistakes. And it only took a few weeks. That's scary. It only takes a few weeks. And if you're less confident than I was at that time and have less belief in yourself than I did, it might only take a few days. It might only take a few times. You know, my niece was told by her math teacher at one stage when she was maybe 10 or 11, she was told by her math teacher that she will never amount to anything in math. Yesterday was my uncle's 80th birthday, and the whole family was together, and we were playing later on in the evening. We were playing cards, my niece and my cousin and my aunt and someone else. And my niece had to write down our count. And at the end of the game, she had to add it all up. And she said, "Oh, why does it have to be me? I'm no good at math." She's 20 now. This is 10 years ago. It destroyed her belief. Maybe she would never have been very good at it. But her teacher, her math teacher, the person, the figure of authority, telling her that you're no good at this, was like, okay, he should know. He is the teacher for this subject. He should know. If he tells me that I'm no good, so why should I bother to try? Don't let that happen to your kids. Don't let that happen to you. Your boss, your teacher, is just another human being. They are not perfect, they are not ideal, and they are not good at everything themselves. And if people tell you things like that, do not take it as a truth. Because your truths are different. It is just an opinion, just as with any criticism. It's just an opinion of that other person, nothing else. It's just an opinion. But if you listen to this opinion and take it to heart and suffer from it, as my niece did, as I did, and as I've seen thousands of people do, and I'm sure you have too, if you take it to heart, it can destroy you. So when something like that happens, put your hand out in a stop sign, really. Show them that this is enough. That's what I do today. And while I'm talking, I'm doing it. Put your hand out in a stop sign when things like that happen to you. And say, stop, please. This is your opinion. I believe that I'm doing a great job here. If you don't want me to work here anymore, then please tell me and I will move on. If there's anything that I can do better, if you have suggestions for improvements, please let me know, and I will do my best to implement them. I don't mean to be cocky or anything like that. You know, I mean, don't tell them, hey, shut up and sort off. That's not what I mean at all. But you have to ask for respect. And when you feel that you hurt because of what other people say, first of all, look within. Don't take what they say as a truth, because it, in most cases it is not. It is just their opinion. In all cases, it's just their opinion. But look within. If it hurts you, then ask yourself, why is this hurting me? But if it happens on a constant basis, then it's bullying, and you have to stop that. Put your hand out in a stop sign. Protect yourself from these type of people. And find out what is their weakness. Why are they behaving like that? Maybe you can help them with what the real problem is. Maybe you can help them. Maybe you can become their friends and help them to solve this issue that makes them be a bully. That's an option. And the other option is stay out of their path. If necessary, get out of their path. Don't get involved. Bullying is one of the most destructive things, and it can be very painful if you take it in. I took it in and I didn't even notice. I didn't take what he said serious. That's a crazy thing. I didn't take it serious because I knew that it was not true. But if you get told that often, your subconscious starts to take it, you know, starts to take it as a fact. So in the end, I started to believe it, and I made the mistakes. So don't let it happen to you. Well, I am really, 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 really sorry that Edith didn't make it. This is such a shame. I would have wanted you to hear her advice, and I will definitely invite her on after I find out what happened to her. But please check it out. It's Edie Rater, RAETHER.com. And the book is called Stop Bullying Now. And if you have a case of bullying around you, get the book. Edie is a very practical lady, very down to earth, so she will have great advice in there. I haven't read it myself yet because it just came out. And I'm in Germany, she's in the States, so it will take a little while until I get it. However, it's worthwhile. And take the advice that I've given you and the stories that I told you to heart and really think about them. You know, if you have these type of things, always remember the people that are bullying are insecure within themselves. This is why they bully. So know that. And don't take them as the ultimate figures of authority. And remember, it is just their opinion, whatever they might say. It has nothing to do with who you are. Absolutely nothing. You are you. You are unique, you are fantastic, spectacular, amazing, wonderful human being. And you are who you want to be, who you desire to be. It's in your power. Know what somebody else tells you you are. That is not who you are. You are so much more, so much better. Magnificent human being. We're coming to the end of the show. I want to thank you so much for listening. I apologize again for not having our guest here today. Check out her book, Stop Bullying Now. And I will see you next Tuesday, same time, same place, with a wonderful guest. By the way, before I forget, Edie is one of the speakers also on the Festival of Enlightenment in Colorado in June. I forgot to mention that. And I hope that you're checking it out because the festival for 2012, the website is already up. You know, most of us that have been to the festival of this year are going back again, the speakers I'm talking about and the attendees. Because it was such an amazing event. Very powerful, very inspiring and transformational. And you don't want to miss it. Well, next year in June, Festival of Enlightenment in Colorado, this time near Colorado Springs. Website is festivalofenlightenment.com. And I will be there and I hope to see you there. But before that, I hope to see you back next Tuesday on the To Be Show. Until then, be whatever you desire. desire to be. This is Barbara Hofmeister from the To Be Radio Show. Have a wonderful week. See you next Tuesday.